Welcome, everybody, to the Four Outdoorsmen, Strewman, Boomer, Mark, Lukey. We don't have a fourth outdoorsman except Brandon behind the glass.
He counts.
Yeah,
he
Brandon counts. We got to give a big shout-out to Brandon, our engineer, guys. He does a lot behind the scenes.
Oh, thanks, guys.
You know, thank you, Brandon. And Brian, always taking our pictures. We love Brian. He was our engineer, too, but... He's got the big homegrown show that's on from 5 to 6. So he got too big for us on the Four Outdoorsmen here on Bob Country.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Welcome to the land of 10,000 lakes. Another Sunday.
Are you welcoming back? Welcoming. That's hard. Welcoming me back from Arizona.
Welcoming Stru back from Arizona.
Four days of golf, 6 rounds of golf with my buddies. Nice weather, great time, very blessed. And here I am.
Your battery's charged from being in the hot sun?
Wasn't hot. Not at all. No, it was 60, 65. One day it got to 70, which was very, very nice. Yeah. Sunny and 70 is heaven. But it was short pant weather, and it was very, very nice.
Well, I tell you what,
some
Stru,
people call those shorts.
Short pants? Cutoffs.
Shorts?
Yeah.
Do you wear jean cutoffs, Stru?
I do at the cabin.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm just too cheap to buy new ones, so I just keep wearing them until they're done.
Are they short shorts?
No, I don't show my butt cheeks or anything like that. But
what I had to do every year is, in fall, my mom would buy me 3 pairs of jeans at Kohl's, right?
Yeah.
3 different colors, light blue, dark blue, and like black or something.
Yeah. Did you pick them out or mama picked them out?
She picked them out, usually. And then when spring came along, she would cut all those suckers off and make shorts, and I'd wear them all summer.
Yeah.
That was...
So you wear your
pretty special, huh?
You wore your pants out in 6 months?
No, but I needed shorts.
Oh, I see.
He was a growing boy, Stru. Well, hey, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. Stru just brought us in. He just got back from Arizona. We got a great show tonight. Lindsay Hayes from Ron Cher Productions. You might see her on Destination Polaris on Fox Sports North or the Outdoors Channel, right?
FSN, right?
It's FSN, Fox Sports Network, and in Canada on Wild TV. And she's also the new host of Due North Outdoors, so I want to talk to her about that.
She used to be the host for Made for the Outdoors.
She still is,
huh?
Yep.
She's got quite a resume cooking
and
here.
And you did an episode that's going to be airing in 2 weeks again about Alumacraft.
Yes, you know what? Lindsay went down to the Alumacraft plant in St. Peter, Minnesota, and then we had a chance to go out in one of the new Alumacrafts. I think we were in a Competitor 185 with an Evinrude on the back, one of the new G2 E-Techs, and we did a little fishing and a little boating on Minnetonka, and stay tuned. Lindsay said... She says the bass or the fish are always camera shy, and we got to fish for a couple minutes, and Lindsay bagged a nice little largemouth there. So that was a fun time filming with her, but we're going to have her on tonight, too, because she shot a monster buck in Saskatchewan, Canada. So we're going to hear that story from her. And then...
Do you think she gutted it out?
I don't know. We can ask her.
Well, I suppose she does.
You know what? She's a farm girl from Wisconsin. Yeah. I'm pretty sure she did it, you know?
Yeah,
and we're also going to have Cindy Jo Schloer and Jake Seidenstricker on, and they just got done with a deer hunt in Illinois. Plus, they're going to talk about some of their recent ice fishing trips, and they started a nonprofit called Guardian Anglers. We'll get into that. But you talked, Stru, about 60, 65-degree weather in Arizona, and Mark and I... Thank goodness for the clam ice armor suits, because it was about 50 to 60 degrees cooler than that when we went out ice fishing in the North Metro, Mark. And we snuck out there Saturday morning, drilled about 50 holes with the K-drill. It was a new lake for myself. And going into it, Strewman, Mark said, hey, this is a secret lake. There's probably one or two people out there. Take it from there, Marky.
I wouldn't say it's a secret lake, but it's a small lake and it's not easy to get to, so... I usually take the boys out there to catch panfish. I love panfishing. I grew up, probably 95% of the fish I caught growing up were bluegills and crappies, so I just still love it. Love taking the kids there. So sometimes it's hard to find a lake in the metro that you can actually catch decent-sized fish. You know, a lot of them are fished out, and I like fishing on Bald Eagle by my house, Peltier's by my house, and I like those lakes sometimes, but this one is nice because it's got a great population. So anyway... I would say I started going there 4 or 5 years ago with my friend Eric, and it's not a secret anymore. I don't think I ever mentioned it on air, but I think word gets out when there's a healthy population. And
yeah.
So there was about, I don't know if there was 30, but there was probably 20 people out there.
You know, when you and I went there a couple of years back for the first time,
yeah,
there might have been two other fisher persons out there. And I think you said the time before the same. And it was, and we had fun, caught some fish. And all of a sudden, it's here we go, right?
Yep. So that gets out there. So anyway, I'm somewhat familiar with the lake. And but you know, when you get Boomer along, he's got to explore new things and see if we can find the secret spot. And so we did that. And it was strange because
it's not a big lake.
We marked fish everywhere, didn't we?
We did. And we started off of the edge of the weed lines, like we talked about with Dave Gens after the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show. And, you know, we started in about, 9 feet of water. And then the secret spot was actually at about 21 feet is when we finally started connecting with them. And we were using fluoro or monofilament, 3-pound, high visibility line. That's really nice, Drew, because that line is so small in diameter at 3-pound test. That high vis fluorescent green line really helps you in tying the knots. Tungsten jigs came in handy, didn't they,
Yeah,
Mark?
For sure. Yeah, that's one of those situations where if you're getting down 20 feet with a small panfish jig, it really helps to have tungsten. But, we drilled our first hole, and immediately I caught a beautiful crappie, and I'm rusty, right? This is my first time this year getting out. My fish got caught in my Vexlar line because I didn't pull it out like an idiot. So I lost that fish. But I was thinking, man, this is going to be a great day.
Well, listen, how in God's name do you know it was a beauty?
Because
we saw it.
I could see it. Yeah, he got it about halfway out of the hole. Also tell, you know, we were using ultralight rods that had an indicator on the end. You know, mine had I used the Jason Mitchell meat stick. It's about 36 inches in length, and it has that shaven fiberglass end with the ball indicator on it. So, you know, when the temperature drops like that, Strew, fish generally start to bite a little lighter. You know, they don't like those temp changes with the barometric pressure increasing, and that kind of puts more pressure on their stomach. So we marked a lot of fish. They were a little picky at first. I mean, I went with the Dave Gens Clam Pro Tackle Dropkick Jig, which is very popular. I think it was 1/32 ounce or something.
And nothing
like that
on the jig?
No, I used plastics, Mackie plastics. I used a Maddie, a minnow head. The best luck I had, because Mark was using live bait, he was using waxies, and I had the bloody, which looks like a bloodworm,
but it was in
a yellowish color with like black flecks in it. So I cut that about halfway to mimic what a waxy would look like, and that's where we started to find the connection points. But I'll tell you, Mark, you know, we talk about not fishing memories, and I know we fished some of the spots that were marking a lot of fish when we went to them. And then we went to some new spots where we did get skunked. And, you know, talk about never giving up. It kind of reminded me of Traverse a few years ago, where we got our butt kicked for 4 hours and in the last half hour caught 40 walleyes, right?
Yep.
We decided to drill holes. So I got a little crazy with the K-drill, and probably the last 15 holes as we were going towards a landing, there was a point that came up, and I told Mark that point really looks attractive. It's just a change of structure. It's kind of like an inside curve or a drop off. And we drilled some holes a little shallower in the bay where the point was, and then a little deeper. And Mark, that's really where the magic started, at least for me.
Yeah, there were about 16 feet, and it's interesting. This happens sometimes when the panfish just aren't biting like they should. It seemed like every hole there was maybe one fish that was aggressive.
Yeah.
And I think you get that with the bulls or whatever. They were probably more being territorial than anything.
Yep.
And that's why the grid was so important, because you had so many holes and you'd catch a nice one and then you'd see fish, but it'd be dead.
Yeah.
So luckily we had the opportunity to move around a little bit, and we caught a couple, enough for a nice snack, not a ton, but we didn't give up. We tried a lot of different holes, and eventually you're going to connect with something or find some fish that are going to bite.
Yeah,
it was. We got about 6 inches of ice out there.
Yeah, it was about six.
It was more than that.
Yeah, probably around 8 inches, Drew. But what was nice is when we fished off that point, we went a little deeper. Is every hole you could hit it and catch one or two fish, or get one or two aggressive follows, and then after that you had to move on. Mark had a nice trick with the wax worms, because some of the hits Mark was getting, he wasn't able to, like, you know, get the hook set where he could bring him in the hole. So a trick we did with Tanner back in Devil's Lake is we threaded the hook with the waxworm. So we just didn't hook the tip of the waxworm. Mark actually threaded it, and that really increased our hook set ratio. And, you know, the big ones
we caught,
sense.
I
you know, they
that.
Were
that
probably Mark 8.5 inches, which is a beautiful bluegill.
Yeah, they're keeper bluegills.
Especially in the metro area.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. So I guess the key there was working the weed lines right away, and then drilling a grid, especially when you get in those conditions where you're going to get one or two aggressive follows or one or two hits, then it's time to move on. So,
and we're talking about ice safety. A couple things about this lake. It is a smaller lake. It does have an aerator. I didn't see it out there, but you got to be careful on these smaller lakes with aerators because the ice is going to be thin or non-existent around that aerator. And we had a moment, and I can't wait till my I have my bibs on, my float bibs, but my jacket I'm waiting for, which should be in next week.
You can't wait for the opportunity to use those float suits,
no,
right?
But there was a moment where Boomer and I walked in the channel because there was a pocket there, and we're sitting there walking together, and we hear a dunk, 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 dunk. And it was
Matt,
like, oh, man.
Matt, the pucker factor did come into play. I mean, we looked at each other. And although we were walking on 6 to 8 inches of ice, I mean, it felt like it bubbled right underneath
us.
Yeah,
and
I
moved
a
little. I could feel a move. And so it was one of those moments where I'm like, I wish I had an ice float suit on right now. So.
But we did learn. We decided to spread out versus 650-plus pounds walking next to each other.
And, of course, you let Mark go first, which is always a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it was good. And even when we drilled the bay, you know, there was little basins in there that had little fingers of drop-offs. A little tip and trick for our listeners is we would drill a line all the way across the bay. So not just in the basin strew, but to the left or to the right of it, into the weed lines too, because sometimes those fish just didn't quite make their way to the basin to roam around yet. They still might be hanging in the weeds. But all in all, Mark, I mean, it was a great trip. It was a newer lake for myself. I mean, you know, 4 or 5 years, still, you know, a lake that you visited a few times, and we caught some nice panfish. So,
well, that's the great kind of first trip for me. Like I said, I unburied my house and I got all my stuff ready. It's good to take a small trip like that to figure out what you need to tune in or what you need to get. I need new line, that's for sure. I had my old line from our Devil's trip last time.
And you were using a straight line, right?
Yep.
I mean, and you probably learned from that with the straight lines, you know what I mean? Where
I do not.
It's like you have that one rod that we were given.
Looks like a fly rod. And those are really good because the line turns more vertically than horizontally, so it doesn't curl. But with that, the gear ratio is, so what I mean by that, by every time you circle
it around, typically
it's 3 to 5 revolutions it comes up. Those are much less with a straight line reel. And so with that being said, they're typically good for, you know, 12 to 14 feet less of water. And I could see, Mark, when we were in a little deeper water that you had to do a couple more revolutions to pull that fish up.
Yeah, and I need new line. It's important to have new line on that. One thing about those, they're kind of like bait casters, is if you let it go and you let the reel keep spinning, you're going to have a nest. And I did because my line was kinked up. But so that was a little frustrating. So I need new line on that. But
that type of reel is something you really have to get used to. It's the only ice fishing rod that I have, and I'm really good at it right now, and I don't have to worry about the nest. I do keep one finger on the side there.
That's a good idea.
The line never comes off the reel, but early on it sure did,
I'll tell you what, too, Stru. I can't imagine, Mark, if we would have been out there without electronics and without our Vexlars, because even though there was a lot of fish, Stru, and they were near the bottom of the water column, you really had to work those fish to bring them up. And then you almost had to dead stick it. And now you necessarily dead sticking a plastic is not a smart idea, but you really had to slow down your cadence, which is how you were jigging it, to trigger that bite. And literally, we would wait till that red mark came right up to our jig on the Vexlar and really then slow down the cadence. So that, as far as a technique, paid a lot of dividends in bringing some of those bluegills and panfish.
It kind of reminded me of bowstring, where you see fish all over the place, and you put your jig down by them, and the only ones that are going to bite are the ones that chase you up, right?
Yep.
So you have to get above them, and the ones that are coming up are the only ones you have a chance at biting. If you just put your jig down where they are, they just look at it.
Yeah.
You're talking about the technology and everything that's taken place over the last 20, 25 years or so. Do you know that in 1990, on Big Winnie, they did some kind of a survey. They had 14,000 fishermen over the summer, and I think the limit is 6, maybe it still is 6 on Big Winnie up there. And 1.1% of all those 14,000 fishermen caught limits. Only 1.1%. Now, that was 28 years ago in 1990. Now we've got all the technology. We got the Vexlars. We got the better equipment. We got the better rods, better reels. They're saying that the limits are 4 most of the lakes right now, 4 and 6. That amount of percentage of people catching limits has not increased that drastically. So the electronics is really, really good at finding the fish. You still got to catch the fish.
Well, I think it gets into Strew is, you know, fish get smarter, right? They get educated out there. So you continually have to up your game, and you continually have to be able to move around and not fish memories. And that's one thing that Mark and I had to do. I mean, we literally drilled 50 holes, and it was that last subset of holes in the grid on the way in is where we really started those connections. And the other important thing about having that Vexlar down there is you could see what type of cadence you were doing as far as how aggressively you were jigging, what the fish were doing to react to that. And what I found is that if I went straight down, like Mark said, they weren't going to do anything. So I'd get about a foot above them. And then you could tell that, you know, they were getting antsy on the Vexlar. You could see the flashing of the red and the yellow.
Yeah.
As I would slowly pull up, that would bring in that bowl or that more aggressive panfish to make the bite.
Well, I'm going to mention the Four Outdoorsmen shout out. We have a couple here, but if you want to us to say something on air about you, go to the Four Outdoorsmen Facebook page and comment in the shout out section. A couple here, John Marshall says, listening in the truck before heading into a boys hockey game. Always great being able to tune in. Thank you, John, for always listening. Hello from the Zeiss family, who just bought a float suit for their kids, and that's a great idea. If you have kids that you go out with constantly, get them a float suit if you can afford it and if you can do it. And then Brandon Backstrom says, get outdoors.
Get outdoors. And I've got a shout out to Thane Jensen and Mark from Clam Outdoors. They just wrapped up the first annual ice fishing show in Fargo, North Dakota. So they're driving back in. I talked to them on the way back. And Thane, Mark, thanks for tuning in, fellas, and we'll probably be talking to you guys tomorrow.
I think Tanner's out there as well, isn't he?
Yeah, Tanner was there with Susie, and you talk about most fish having a limit of 4. Devil's Lake has a limit of 5 walleyes with no slot.
I understand that. Hey, want to shout out to a good friend of mine, Bob Byerly. I saw him at church today. Bob Byerly's been a listener since day one. He just loves to be entertained. He says, what's good about our show is not only does he learn stuff, but he laughs. And he's a great, great guy. So, Bob Byerly, thanks very much for being a fan of the outdoors, the Four Outdoorsmen. Go ahead, Marky.
Oh, we got 1 minute. That was the one signal.
Well, you know what I was going to say is we have 1 minute. Stay tuned throughout the season here during the ice fishing season, because the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Countries, you're tuning in. Wild Card, producer Mark Boomer here. We are going to be going to Devil's Lake for our annual ice fishing trip. We're going to be going back to the UP of Michigan to
Looking
visit our
to
friend Guy Sibley for those big perch. We're going to go backwater fishing in the woods for crappies. Rumor has it we might make another trip up to Izades and do a Mille Lacs fishing trip, potentially going to Bowstring again to visit our friends Aaron and Bill. So we've got quite a few ice fishing trips in various destinations across the state in the Midwest. Devil's Lake, Michigan, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin. It's going to be a fun year ice fishing. And stay tuned, because who's coming up next on the show, Strew?
Lindsay Hayes.
All right, big
production, Lindsay Hayes. You bet.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the Four Outdoorsmen anytime.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
There is only one gear and apparel outfitter that is the Four Outdoorsmen approved, Wild Fowler. Wild Fowler provides head-to-toe concealment and patterns for every possible hunting season. There is no reason to be cold and wet while hunting. When you wear Wild Fowler, you remain dry, comfortable, and quiet. Wild Fowler is a Minnesota company made for Minnesota hunts. To get your Wild Fowler gear in time for your season, go to wildfowleroutfitter.com or visit your local Fleet Farm store. wildfowleroutfitter.com.
Deadshot Custom Call Company is the only duck call trusted and used by the four outdoorsmen. Deadshot Custom Calls are handmade in Minnesota and not available in stores because each call has a direct connection to you. Immortalize your hunting dog with the Man's Best Friend series, or have a custom image or theme made just for you, whether on your lanyard or on your wall. Deadshot Custom Calls are made from the finest acrylics to last for generations. Customize your call at DeadshotCustomCalls.com.
Introducing the new line of float suits by Ice Armor. Bike Lam. With patent-pending motion float technology, it combines the security of a premium float suit with maximum mobility. Using a baffled, segmented design of the flotation material, we've created a line of float suits that are comfortable and flexible so you can stay mobile on the ice. Breathable, waterproof, and flexible, our float suits have all the great features you expect from Ice Armor by Lam. Stay warm, stay mobile, and stay safe with the float suits from Lam Outdoors. Pursue the ice.
Rooster. Yep, hunting season is here, and it's time to make a trip to Sandpine Pheasants Family Recreation in Avon, Minnesota. Sandpine Pheasants is located just an hour from the Twin Cities and is open to the public with no membership fees. Enjoy hunting one of their nine fields, try a European hunt, or book a guided hunt. Sandpine Pheasants is open 7 days a week and also the largest central Minnesota dealer of the Action Track Chair, a great tool for helping the disabled hunt. Learn more at sandpinepheasants.com.
Boomer here, and ice fishing season is upon us in the land of 10,000 lakes. And one trusty gadget I never go out with on the ice is my Vexilar FLX28. Vexilar, the leader in marine electronics, is always in my fish trap as it tells me what the depth is, where the fish are at in the water column, and what kind of structure I'm working with. Vexilar marine electronics last forever. I let my FLX28 run for 3 straight days on the ice. To learn more about Vexilar, go to Vexilar.com.
What's in store this holiday at your local Staples?
Hearing, aw, you shouldn't have.
Without spending more than you should have.
Staples has the hottest tech gifts this holiday. Laptops, tablets, monitors, and printers.
At the lowest prices guaranteed.
And you can't get lower than the lowest with Staples Price Match Guarantee.
So everyone on your list gets more than they dreamed, and you save more than you imagined.
Staples, there's a whole lot in store this holiday.
In-store only, limitations apply. See a store associate for details.
Aaron's Gifts of Greatness event means you can bring home truly great gifts for your family. Because all you need is just $1 to get started leasing to own with deals on great brands like Philips, LG, and Samsung. With no credit needed and free delivery and setup. Plus, you can enter for a chance to win a home makeover shopping spree worth $10,000. This holiday, you can get started with just $1 from December 1st to the 16th at a participating store or Aarons.com. Transaction advertised as a rental purchase agreement. Some restrictions apply. No purchase necessary to enter. See rules for details.
Total Country Bob FM.
Couple of more shout-outs before we get to Lindsey Hayes from Ron Shearer Productions. We got Justin Anali just got off Lake Ida by Alexandria with a limit of crappies and a limit of sunfish. Very, very good quality fish. Big fish, he said.
I've fished that lake.
But
it does have good
work for them. So I'll tell you what, I thank Justin for mentioning the lake because most people do. Mark Luca didn't even mention his secret lake.
Hey, we call producer Mark's lake, Lake LPM.
Yeah,
lake
LPM.
Producer Mark.
So Justin, thanks for...
Because it's still a secret to us and 100 other anglers.
Yeah, shut up. Thanks for listening to the Four Outdoorsmen. Then I got to say hi to Tim Spielman. Just checked in, the Outdoor News guy, and he's listening. Thanks for checking in as well, Tim. Hey, I'll tell you what, you can bring in our next guest. All right, buddy?
Well, I get to bring in a lady here that just slayed a big buck down in Saskatchewan. Lindsey Hayes, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen again.
Hi, guys. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Lindsey. So producer Mark's to my left, Strewman's to my right. Where is Lindsey Hayes tonight?
I am actually back at the farm in Wisconsin. I'm going to have one last dinner with the family, and then I will be headed back to Minneapolis for work tomorrow morning.
Oh, I didn't know if you were having dinner with the family or if you brought the cats some fish to have a little snack.
Oh, well, you know, I unfortunately was not out on the ice this weekend. My brother was with some buddies. And he's had some good luck down here in southern Wisconsin, but I haven't been out on the ice just yet. I just wrapped up hunting season, so now, yes, I got to get in that mode and have my first trip of the year.
So, Lindsey, if you follow you on Instagram or Facebook, it looks like you shot a really nice buck in
Bullwinkle.
Bullwinkle. Yeah, is that the name we're going to call it? Bullwinkle. Lindsay, how did you get hooked up going to Saskatchewan? And tell us the story.
Sure. Yeah. So it's wonderful how work and play blur lines a lot for me these days. And I had been up in Saskatchewan in North Battleford. It's about a 2.5 hour flight from Minneapolis north. And we had done a goose hunt this fall in September with a outfitter called Northway Outfitters. And they're one of the legendary outfitters in Saskatchewan, most known for whitetail. They were established back in the 80s, and it's pretty much kind of Cabela's main outfitter, and they've got some of the biggest trophy whitetails in the world that have come off of their, I think it's 100,000 acres through the years. So I got to experience first a goose hunt with them and duck hunt, and man, that was something spectacular, straight out of a movie when you've got a couple thousand birds flying over you. It was quite an adrenaline rush. And then the owner had said, gosh, I just had so much fun getting to know you this week, and I'd really love to offer you to come back and do a whitetail hunt with us. So I said, well, let me check my calendar. I will take a week off of work. So that was my vacation at the end of November. I took a week off of work and went north of the border.
Marky.
Well, we saw the picture there, and good for you for being able to get away for a week, because I know how busy you are. I rarely see you anymore, especially with Destination Polaris and everything. But so you got to take this week off. Tell us about the actual hunt. It is a beautiful deer. If you want to go and see it, go to Lindsay Hayes' Facebook or Instagram page. It's just a trophy of a lifetime. Tell us about that day, about that hunt, and you got to get that thing mounted, right?
Oh, yeah. It's headed to the taxidermist as we speak, so hopefully the turnaround time isn't too long on that, because I'm looking forward to getting it up on the wall. But more than the mount is the memory of the hunt, and I'm not going to lie, I had a tough fall. I hunted a week in Wisconsin before Thanksgiving, and normally at least somebody in our camp down in southern Wisconsin, two or three, will have luck, and everybody got skunked this gun season.
Wow.
We had a lot of nice deer, but just no shooters. We had some nice eights. We aren't trophy hunters by any means, but at the same time, we also like to manage our deer, so we try to aim for eight or better and mature bucks. And so that's kind of what we do, but we also want to fill the freezer because venison's my favorite meat. So
hey,
I had a tough hunt in Wisconsin and then went up to Saskatchewan, and boy, let me tell you, it's a hard hunt up there. They pretty much drop you in the dark in your blind, and it's nothing fancy. It's just three sides of plywood and a hole out the front and a little plastic chair in there. And it was a high of 15 degrees for the day, but it was a lot colder with the wind.
Yeah.
And you just sit. So they drop you in the morning, and they come and pick you up after dark. But it's about a 100-yard shot of where up there they have bait piles. They said if you don't have any sort of hay or grain or corn out, you won't see a buck because there's so much square miles. And the bush is really thick. Like, you can't shoot to your left or right. It's pretty much the one shooting lane right down the front. So I had deer action. I've never seen action like that where you had deer in front of you almost all day. So there was no time for naps. There was, you know, even at lunch, I'm like, man, I'm hungry, but I still got deer in front of me. And I got to see doe fight and watch the dominant doe get up on her hind legs and show them all who's boss. I got to watch a six-pointer clear all the doe out, and then an eight-pointer come in and show he's boss. And I'd never seen a buck fight, like a good buck fight, in person. And I got to see three of those in the course of the 3 days. And, man, to hear those racks rattle and then to see an eight-point buck take a six-point buck and practically ram him up a tree and the snow falling on him, I mean, I was giggling and laughing. It was awesome. And so that was the day ahead of what then went down, and it was less than 8 seconds that I had to decide, because when my buck came in, he wasn't stopping to eat like the rest of them. He was a slow strut on through. There were three doe on the pile. And all of a sudden, they just scampered. And instantly, I got my gun up because I knew, okay, something's coming. And so it was then all of a sudden the late game of what's coming. And I'm looking through my binocs because it's a 100-yard shot. And I all of a sudden saw the chocolate horns, and I was like, okay, here we go, 1, 2, 3, and take a deep breath. And he kind of jumped straight up and went right down. So we didn't have to track him. He didn't go anywhere. So it was pretty cool.
What a thrill. I'll tell you what, let's go back to, I was going to say, if you can only look straight ahead and you're looking at one lane, I was going to say, how can you stay focused the entire day? But if you had that much activity, of course, it's pretty easy to do. Were you ever tempted to videotape any of the activity that was taking place?
You know, of course, because you have them sit out there. I mean, I did try to video one of the buck fights because they were on the pile for about 45 minutes. And then I was like, all right, I got to try to get this, you know. But it's 100 yards away. So a lot of it, which was different for me in Wisconsin, the furthest shot that I would ever probably be taking is a 100-yard shot. And everything is a lot more close and intimate, I feel like, how I'm set up at home. Whereas here, you know, everything you have to binoc because there are a lot of them are coming in and you're first seeing them at about 300 yards way back in the bush and you're seeing the bodies move. But, I mean, the best way I could think of it to try to describe it is think of, like, the thick blackberry pricker bushes, like that thick, everywhere you look in there. I mean, I'm impressed with those deer. And then the body, the sheer size of some of the doe that I saw, I was like, we don't have a buck like that in Wisconsin. That's 100 pounds more than the majority of the bucks that we see there. And that's the doe, you know? So it was pretty crazy just to see the size difference.
You know, Lindsay, you know, every time I get into the deer stand, it's something special for me because I've been doing it with a kid with my mom and dad, and it's great. Now I get to share the land up north with Strew and producer Mark and Thane and some other family friends and my daughter with me the last couple of years. But every time I see a deer or the first few deer when I'm in the stand, I swear the deer can hear my heartbeat because it's that boom, 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 you know. And then the few big bucks that I've been lucky enough to harvest over the last few years, it's like my heart is about to explode. What were your emotions like sitting in that stand as you saw all those deer and then especially the big bullwinkle that you shot?
Well, I have been skunked for a lot of years and haven't gotten a buck. I've passed on a lot of bucks. And so it has been a while since I've seen a lot of bucks in front of me that haven't got that adrenaline pumping. Like they've gotten the... I love to watch them, but there's a difference from a buck coming in and you look at him and you're like, wow, that's a nice buck. And having that mindset of he needs another year to then all of a sudden that moment of you see that buck come out and it's like game time, you know? And all of a sudden it's like, okay, we got to tune out the buck fever. We got to take some deep breaths and we got to make a good shot, you know? And it's really interesting when you say, you wonder if they can hear your heartbeat because for me, I'm very calm and collective, I guess, before. But the second that I make that shot, all of a sudden, it's just like a feeling that I can't describe. And, you know, I pride myself in really wanting to make a good shot. Every buck I've killed has been one shot and done. And, you know, I also am very respectful and say a little prayer just for being able to do that. But this one was weird because I'm out in the bush and I have this walkie. The guy tells me, you know, don't need to come out there, just radio back to us. And I radio back like, hey guys, you know, buck down. And no response. So I'm like, I've got all this energy and emotion and no one is here to talk to me. And at home, I always call my dad or brother and, you know, instantly I have someone to share that moment with. And here I had nobody, you know, and so I was like, oh, darn it. So since nobody was answering the radio, I thought, well, I'm getting out. I got to go down there and check this buck out, I swear. Because in my mind, through the scope, I saw him jump straight up, and I saw him lay right down. But then when I looked through the binocs, I couldn't see him because there was a 3-foot stump right in front of that shooting lane. So I kept looking, and I'm like, I swear he's right there. He didn't run off.
he has to be right there, but I couldn't see him. So once I got out and walked about 50 yards, then I saw him, and I was like, ooh, those butterflies started. So it was a special moment for me. And it's always fun to try different types of hunting. I can't say enough of, I love being home on the farm because I'm with my family. But I also love to get out there and experience hunts all over the world and all over the country to meet the people, because you get a different type of hunt everywhere you go. And everyone is special, and you learn something new from those. And so it's something I'll never forget, and it's going to be it's my biggest buck yet. And more than that, it's a memory that's going to be up on the wall that I get to, you know, look at and relive and remember all the great people I met, because we had 23 hunters up there from all across the United States. And it's just fun at camp at night, sharing stories and getting to know all the other hunters too.
Hey, Lindsay, this is Stru Man here. Thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. If you guys are just tuning in, we're talking with Lindsay Hayes out of Ron Shearer Productions. You know that. And I think you don't understand this, Lindsay, but you're talking about, you're probably pissing off about 90% of our listeners, because you let these 6-point and 8-point bucks walk right on by in Wisconsin. And I tell you what, most of us would shoot one of those 6-point or 8-point bucks.
Hey, Lindsay, it's Mark here, and I just want to switch gears. We have you for like 2 more minutes. I want to say thank you for, I guess, a kind of promotion. You're host of Due North Outdoors.
Yeah.
So congratulations to you. I think the last time you were on our show was we snagged you out of the crowd at the state fair, and thank you for doing that. But how are things going as host of Due North? What can we expect in the future? And then just give us, our listeners, how they can follow you on social media.
Well, thank you. And first of all, I got to go back to Stru real quick there. Hey, I'm one of the biggest advocates of this. I don't care what size buck it is that you want to shoot, as long as you harvest it and you eat the meat and you have a darn good time doing it. Because I know that there are a lot of little kids out there that are going after their first buck, and I don't care if it's a spike or whatever.
Okay,
right,
let's talk about Due North.
I love it so much.
Due North Outdoors.
What's coming up for you?
Yeah, I know. Sorry. So we got a lot of big things coming up, and I'm so excited to take over that show with Travis. And we got a lot of big stuff going on with that. Also, don't forget that Made for the Outdoors, if you haven't seen the season, starts airing in January on the Sportsman's Channel, Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. So whatever, you know, of those shows, we had some really great ones. Boomer was a part of one of those with Alumacraft. And with Due North Outdoors, you know, I just have started to film, and so we've got a lot of great stuff I look forward to. You're going to see that goose hunt up in Saskatchewan. You're going to see crane migration from this fall. We get to do an in-depth thing. You're going to see actually one of the endangered whooping cranes. And we are kind of going all over the place, and I'm just getting geared up for that. So I'm really looking forward to 2019 to kind of dig my feet in and, you know, tell more of those type of stories of Minnesota, you know, true and true outdoor stories. So
I'm a big fan of social media. I'm a big fan of Made for the Outdoors. I DVR that. It's my favorite outdoor show, and it's funny. It's interesting. You learn a whole lot.
It's true. I'm really impressed because you managed to record stuff still on an 8-track.
I do.
I mean, that's impressive.
I know it's on Foxworks, FSN as well, yes. Hey, Lindsay, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoors. I'm going to tell you what, Boomer Center.
Yeah, Lindsay, thanks for joining us tonight. Look forward to having you on the show again, and good luck on your next adventure, okay?
Hey, thanks. I heard about a bunch of ice fishing trips right before that break. I hope to get a call to go on a couple of those with you guys. You know, I'm just going to invite myself. I'll leave that there for you. Sounds good.
I need a roommate.
The guy in the office right down from you, the big burly guy with the beard.
I need a roommate.
All right. Lindsay Hayes just joined us. Stay tuned next. We're going to have Cindy Jo Schlower, the American Idol star, and boyfriend Jake Seidenstricker on to talk deer hunting in Illinois and some ice fishing stories.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the 4 Outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
There is only one gear and apparel outfitter that is the Four Outdoorsmen approved, Wild Fowler. Wild Fowler provides head-to-toe concealment and patterns for every possible hunting season. There is no reason to be cold and wet while hunting. When you wear Wild Fowler, you remain dry, comfortable, and quiet. Wild Fowler is a Minnesota company made for Minnesota hunts. To get your Wild Fowler gear in time for your season, go to wildfowleroutfitter.com or visit your local Fleet Farm store. wildfowleroutfitter.com.
Deadshot Custom Call Company is the only duck call trusted and used by the Four Outdoorsmen. Deadshot Custom Calls are handmade in Minnesota and not available in stores because each call has a direct connection to you. Immortalize your hunting dog with the Man's Best Friend series or have a custom image or theme made just for you, whether on your lanyard or on your wall. Deadshot Custom Calls are made from the finest acrylics to last for generations. Customize your call at DeadshotCustomCalls.com.
Rooster! Yep, hunting season is here and it's time to make a trip to Sandpine Pheasants Family Recreation in Avon, Minnesota. Sandpine Pheasants is located just an hour from the Twin Cities and is open to the public with no membership fees. Enjoy hunting one of their nine fields, try a European hunt, or book a guided hunt. Sandpine Pheasants is open 7 days a week and also the largest central Minnesota dealer of the Action Track Chair, a great tool for helping the disabled hunt. Learn more at sandpinepheasants.com.
Introducing the new line of float suits by Ice Armor. Bike Lam. With patent-pending motion float technology, it combines the security of a premium float suit with maximum mobility. Using a baffled, segmented design of the flotation material, we've created a line of float suits that are comfortable and flexible so you can stay mobile on the ice. Breathable, waterproof, and flexible, our float suits have all the great features you expect from Ice Armor by Lam. Stay warm, stay mobile, and stay safe with the float suits from Lam Outdoors. Pursue the ice.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why aren't more things in life customizable? Why isn't a burger cheaper when you ask for no onions? I don't want them. So shouldn't you deduct the price of the onions? Right? Otherwise, I'm paying for the onions, but I'm not receiving any onions.
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
Fragrance makes for dreamy holiday gifts, and Ulta Beauty is the place to get them. So gift your impossible-to-impress daughter an irresistible scent from Clinique My Happy, and gift your hard-to-please sister a fruity and floral scent from KKW Fragrance. And then get ready to gift yourself, too, because when you buy a fragrance of $50 or more, you'll get a free plush throw or luxury robe for having the good sense to gift great scents. Get ready to gift. Get ready to glam. Get ready to shine brighter. Ulta Beauty. The possibilities are beautiful.
What's in store this holiday at your local Staples?
Hearing, aw, you shouldn't have.
Without spending more than you should have.
Staples has the hottest tech gifts this holiday. Laptops, tablets, monitors, and printers.
At the lowest prices guaranteed.
And you can't get lower than the lowest with Staples Price Match Guarantee.
So everyone on your list gets more than they dreamed, and you save more than you imagined.
Staples, there's a whole lot in store this holiday.
In-store only, limitations apply. See a store associate for details.
Aaron's Gifts of Greatness event means you can bring home truly great gifts for your family. Because all you need is just $1 to get started leasing to own with deals on great brands like Philips, LG, and Samsung. With no credit needed and free delivery incentive. Plus, you can enter for a chance to win a home makeover shopping spree worth $10,000. This holiday, you can get started with just $1 from December 1st to the 16th at a participating store or Aarons.com. Transaction advertised as a rental purchase agreement. Some restrictions apply. No purchase necessary to enter. See rules for details.
Total Country Bob FM.
Shall we get a shout-out? Bring us in, Producer Mark.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out from our good friend Shelly Holland. She says, hey guys, Scott and I listening on our way back talking fishing and clam products at the running stores in South Dakota. Great to hear you. It's good to hear from you too, Shelly.
I can't wait to see Scott and Shelly at the annual Straczynski Christmas get-together coming up here on the 21st. Right, buddy?
Absolutely. My gorgeous wife will be there as well.
Hey, let's talk about sponsors because we don't get to yap about hunting and fishing for the last five, 6 years without great sponsors and great listeners. Appreciate all the listeners that stop and talk to us at the different sports shows or when we're out and about. And thank you to the 3,000 folks that follow us on Facebook and the hundreds that follow us on Instagram. But we can't do it without Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. They already have ice out there. I'm seeing a lot of big jumbo perch caught already ice fishing on Devil's Lake. Alumacraft Boats, the best aluminum boat company in the world. And with that being said, you can win a cool boat that's customized to the Minnesota Gophers. Just go to gophersports.com/Alumacraft and you can win a customized Alumacraft bat with boat with the Golden Gopher colors. And Clam Outdoors, they continue to be the leader in ice houses, portables, tungsten tackle, gear, apparel, rosin reels.
Do you ever shut up?
Only after the show.
Okay.
What do you got, Stream?
Now you're putting the pressure. I mean, how many sponsors are left? Wild Fowler, right?
Yeah.
A Wild Fowler. My wife gave me some sass today because I wore my Wild Fowler camel coat to church today.
No,
I've got. I love it, man.
You wanted to be sneaky.
Oh,
huh?
It was really cool.
But you didn't want father to know you were
the
there.
The best camel clothing there is. Wild Fowler bit made right in the Twin Cities. And Deadshot Custom Calls. I tell you, we do more. You know more about duck calls than I do.
Yeah, Deadshot Custom Calls. Even when we were down there filming with Tony Vandemore on behalf of Copen Outdoors for the Hunt with Tony contest, the guides down there at Habitat Flats, when I showed them my Deadshot Custom Call, which, you know, they can custom make with a pitcher or your dog's ashes or some cool memory, they had even heard of it. And it don't even just look good, Strew, but those Deadshot Custom Calls, they sound ducky as well. What do you think of that, buddy?
Sand pine pheasants, huh?
They have nine fields in Avon, Minnesota, only about an hour away. Guided hunts. Go call Keith at Sand Pine Pheasants for a great adventure for pheasant hunting. And before we get to Cindy, Joe, and Jake, I have to give a big shout out because Mark Fisher is looking really flannelly today.
Really?
I love the red flannel, Mark. Looking really good. Paul Bunyan-like, buddy.
Right out of Home Improvement.
Yeah, these look just like my pajamas, guys.
That didn't come through, but I'll tell you what he said.
Fire collar and evening, boys.
I love it. He is not even just a Hall of Fame fisherman or a Hall of Fame broadcaster on Bob and Bear Facts and Fishtails, but the man can dress. So, Strew.
Hey, we got a good-looking young lady on here with her smart aleck boyfriend. We got Cindy Joe Schlower and Jake. And Jake, hey, Cindy Joe, thanks for
hey,
being
try
on
to
us.
Say Jake's last name.
I think it's Seidenstricker.
I think it's Seidenstricker. Let's ask CJ, is it Seidenstricker or Jake, or is it Seidenstricker?
Seidenstricker.
Oh, booyah! My God.
You owe me another cup of coffee, my friend.
Just what you need. Hey, CJ, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Of course.
No problem.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Well, I haven't talked to you in a long, long time. Let me give a little background about Cindy Jo Schlower. We met her about 5 years ago, give or take, when she was on American Idol. She got really deep into the competition.
Is that when you became obsessed with CJ?
Absolutely. No, I found out that she shot a bear. That's when I became obsessed with her. And we followed her, of course. I've seen her a couple of times performing with Dirt Road Dixie, and she'll be talking more about that later on as well. But she's a hunting and a fishing addict all the way through.
Yeah, but I also heard her boyfriend can shoot a couple deer and catch a couple fish too, Strew.
Yeah, we're going to talk about guardian anglers here pretty soon as well. But CJ, both you and Jake came back from Illinois deer hunting recently, right?
We did, you bet.
Okay, now what? Tell me the story, because I know Jake has been down there. Why go to Illinois to deer hunt? What's wrong with Minnesota? Uh-oh,
we lost him. Well, we're going to wait till CJ and Jake get back with us. Brandon, are they with us still?
Can you hear us now?
Now we can,
All right.
We're back in business.
Okay, why Illinois?
Part of it's the adventure, I guess sometimes. I don't know. For me, I've always been a hometown girl, always, you know, hunting close to home, going out with friends and family. And when Jake had shared some of the experiences he had had there and just, the hiking, the area is beautiful. So even not just the hunting aspect of it, but us going out there and walking through the ravines and hiking and just kind of getting away and being in a place that's different and new and creating some memories that you don't get to make every day. So,
you know, Jake Boomer here, and when we talk a lot of deer hunting, we were just yapping with Lindsay Hayes from Ronchair Productions. She went out, and we call it Bullwinkle. She shot a big buck up in Saskatchewan.
Monster.
We've had people on, you know, in Minnesota, of course, and in Wisconsin, the Dakotas. I don't think Strew or even Benny Spies all over the place. I don't think we've ever, or the Crush in Iowa, I don't think we've ever talked about hunting in Illinois. So, Jake, why was Illinois a destination that you went to before you went with CJ this last time?
Well, I had some buddies that talked about going down there and doing some shed hunting. We found some public and private ground, and we went down there and did some shed hunting and found some, about 170 to 180 inch shed, which really got us jazzed up, and we were like ready to go. So we got back down there and threw up some cameras and ended up finding lots of like booners down there, and ended up connecting with some of them while we're down there hunting this last year. And
Cool. All right. So now, Stru, they were just ice fishing too, weren't they?
They were just ice fishing. As a matter of fact, that's why I called him a smart aleck, but I really want to call him a smart ass because I asked him.
Stru?
Yeah. So anyway,
we're on the lake as we speak, Stru.
I says to her, she shows me a couple of pictures of some beautiful crappies. I says, where are you? She says, Jake told me to tell you we're on the lake. That's all I know is that we're on the lake. Beautiful crappies. So you had some success yesterday, the last couple of days ice fishing.
We have, yes. He always gets us on some good. I have my spots. You know, I have my spots. So obviously, this year's a little different. It's a little scarier this year as we come off from last year and everything that happened. But we definitely got on some fish this weekend, which was super fun. So
good for you. I tell you what, talking about that, one thing we want to talk about is you do a lot of ice fishing, you do a lot of hunting, and all that as well. And you and Jake, I think you were a guy. You two started Guardian Anglers, right?
Jake started it last year.
Jake, I know. Tell me what Guardian Anglers is all about, and just a little bit about how and why you started Guardian Anglers.
Guardian Anglers is started to raise awareness for ice safety, kind of hold resorts to a higher standard of safety, so that they're marking off their tracks and open water and doing their due diligence to keep their customers safe. We started it because of last year, the two individuals that lost their lives up on Upper Red Lake. One of them was my sister, and then it was her buddy Zeth was the other one. And we started it in their memory, and hopefully we can prevent anything like that to happen again. We're going to get it going, have tournaments to raise money to, help these resorts, educate their lake employees, the guys that run the lake, to help them get the proper supplies to mark off the areas so that they're reflective, snow fences, anything that they can do to mark off these bad areas on the lakes, because it's never 100% safe. It's always changing. So to be able to mark these things off and know what to look for is what we want to do.
Hi, Jake. Producer Mark here, and I'm so sorry for your loss. And kudos to you for raising awareness on this important thing we've been talking a lot about, ice fishing safety lately. How do you approach these resorts? You probably get some pushback. How do you approach resorts and try to help them find a safer way to get their anglers out on the ice?
Well, the big thing for us is that we'll have a lot of like followers. You have moms and dads, mostly moms, that are worried about their younger kids that are going ice fishing, and if they have something like a resort that's safe ice certified, they might tell their kids, well, I feel better about you guys going up to this resort instead of this other resort, and we'll promote the resorts that are on our Safe Ice certified plan, or that are doing their due diligence. So we'll advertise them and support them to do that.
Go ahead, Mark.
How does a resort become Safe Ice certified? Is that something that you guys came up with, like a plan of guidelines?
We're still working on that. There's obviously a lot that goes into everything. It's a big process between the nonprofit and the education portion of it all. So just with all of us working together, we're trying to get it all still set up.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Jake and Cindy Joe Schlower and Jake Seidenstricker, right? Seidenstricker?
Yes.
Okay, anyway, and they're talking about that. They have an organization called Guardian Anglers. It's all about making awareness of ice safety. The tragedy just took place about 13 months ago, and all of a sudden, right away in February, you had a nice big fishing tournament to raise a lot of money to start doing your program. How do you spend the money? Let's say you made $2,000 or $3,000 or whatever it was from that fishing tournament. How do you spend the money? I don't understand how that works.
Well, what we did is we donated some to the little boy that got hit by the drunk snowmobiler.
There you go. Yeah, that was in Chisago.
We donated to their family.
Yeah, there you go.
What I want to do is use the money from the tournament to go into the ice safety equipment so that we can get it to kids. And then also we want to, like, if there's another family, like there was, I don't know, a bunch last year that had to go through what we did. And we want to do, like, support packages to send to their families to help them cope with the loss. But ultimately, we want to set people up for success when they go out on the lake and get them the ice, you know, the get them float suits or ice picks, everything that we can do to make sure that if they go through the ice, they have something to get them back out.
Go ahead, Boom.
Yeah, I know CJ and Jake are right on the ice right now, and I'm going to ask them this question because I did a survey on one of my stories about ice fishing, and which do you prefer, plastics and live bait? And I think there was about 164 folks that were in this. Strew, what percentage liked plastics and what percentage liked live bait?
I would say 70% like plastic, 30% like live bait.
I think that... if we were to ask anonymously, most people would say live bait, but I bet plastics are higher.
You got to give me a percentage, brother.
Okay, I would say 40% live bait.
All right, CJ, what did you say, plastics or live bait? What percentage?
Oh, geez. Ask Jake that question.
All right, Jake, which percentage voted plastics and live bait?
Between 70 and 30?
It was 56% plastics and 44% live bait, which segues into my question for you two, because it looks like you guys got on some walleyes and crappies. Were you guys using live bait or plastics?
Live bait, both, actually. We were using both.
Nice.
I was using live bait for a while. I left the fish house, and Jake was catching them on plastics. So.
Good for you guys. Now, are you guys focused on this Lake X? Are you guys fishing? I know it's multi-species based on the picture you sent us, but are you mostly crappie fishing or walleye fishing, or what are you guys doing?
We were crappie fishing the last couple days. Today, Jake wanted to get me on some walleyes, but we've definitely been trying to hammer some crappies out. So,
hey, let's get back to Guardian Anglers, because that's what this whole interview is about for the most part. Because it's Guardian Anglers, and it says forever fishing the skies. How did that come about? What does forever fishing the skies mean?
So when we started it, or when I found my sister and Zeth up there, I'd seen two eagles. And so the forever fishing the sky is kind of representing the eagles, because they're always – up in the sky, and when they're flying over the lake, they're always looking for a fish. So,
all right. Are you guys planning on doing another fishing tournament soon?
Yeah, we're going to do a get-together this winter, probably up on Mille Lacs Lake again, and then next year we'll have a big tournament probably up here on Mille Lacs Lake also.
We'll try to get you on the air to talk about that when you get closer as well, okay? I'll tell you what. I think it's a great, great thing you're doing. We lost somebody apparently, but anyway... Guardian Anglers, how do they find you? How do they?
They're gone, Strew, man.
I guess they're gone.
So just Google Guardian Anglers, and you can learn more about a nonprofit foundation that's out there to teach safety with the resorts. We had a great show, Strew. We talked to Lindsay Hayes about her buck hunting adventure in Saskatchewan, which was successful. We had CJ and Jake on talking some crappie and walleye fishing, plus some ice fishing safety tips. As well, Guardian Anglers, which is all about ice safety and resorts. And we had some fishing reports. Mark and I were up on the North Metro catching some panfish. So anything else going on, Strewman?
Laughing and learning on the 4 Outdoorsman. How about you got something to say, Boomer?
Get outdoors!